Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
Hello.
Your mum.
Your mum.
You haven't done that before. How are you, Sha?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm excited to record and talk about our favourite subject.
Money.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Is that your money, your go-to money song?
Yeah, what's yours?
I'd say More Money, More Problems.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm all ABBA.
All that money.
Money!
Yeah.
Thank you.
You should do all the money.
That's
the whole episode.
I need to get further away from the mic because it's going to be so loud. That would have been piercing. I do apologise.
It's fine.
Yeah.
That's just, you know, how we roll. So, go for it,
Jill. Shall we introduce our mums again for any new listeners out there and do a little recap of who they are, what they do?
Yeah. Who's your mum?
My mum is called Leslie and she's, how old? 65, 66.
Shall I look on her face?
Yeah, one of three. and she is coming out of lockdown and starting working at Wonder Fashions again.
Is she excited about that?
Yeah, a village retail clothing store. She's ecstatic about it. She couldn't, lockdown was very not good for her.
Yeah, because she's living alone.
So if you want to burgle a 66-year-old woman in the Dunchurch
she's
region, she's she's aged with the threat of burglary. Anyway, hit her up. That's it.
That's your mum.
That's her in a nutshell.
So my mum is Morves, and quite weird. She is 66, and she's been all right in lockdown. I think she's what we spoke about last time, which
you'll never hear
the episode. But gosh, we were a bit drunk, I think. But yeah, so she got a wardrobe installed. She's very happy about that. But she's had to, I think she's going to have to redecorate because she measured it wrong. So, yeah, so basically they had to, knock a bit out so there's, exposed brick and stuff. But it's very cheap
make,
now.
We could make a feature of that.
Why not? It's very, it's very Pinterest. but, yeah, she's really good. She's, feeling back to herself now since uncle's passing. So that's Morves. She's an Aquarius lady.
Mm. Yeah. Leslie's Leo Cancer on the cusp. So that's a real shit mix right there.
Yeah. Do you know
feisty
what I did do this week? I
mean, and clingy.
This isn't about me, it's about our mums, but I downloaded Coaster.
Do
you have it?
I'm sorry, I've got deja vu. You 100% have done this before and told me that I had to download it.
No, I had the pattern before. Oh. And actually, the pattern is a bit cultish for me. So I'm only doing Coaster. And
do an episode on star signs.
Oh, my mum will be like, no.
That's
it's
it.
Pagan.
End of episode.
Yeah.
Mum says, no.
Yeah. She'd be like, it's not, that's very, it's woo-woo.
We're prevaricating. Oh, no, we're not. We're prevaricating? We're getting off the subject of money.
Okay.
Should we? Should we get back?
Back to money. Your chat with Les and money?
Well, I realise that when you ask someone what their relationship to money is,
yeah,
they have a completely different view than my mum was like, oh no, I'm really good with money.
Oh.
And I was like, are you? I was really? Okay. She's like, yeah, I love saving and not spending. And I was like, okay, literally, where is this savings that you've got?
Yeah.
But yeah. So I wonder if she thinks I'm good with money and what her views about me and my saving spending habits are. She probably thinks I'm a bit £60 Birkenstocks.
Yeah,
her jaw does drop when I'm like, even that amount. She's like, oh my god,
gosh, imagine if you bought some Vasia trainers or something.
I only recently learned how to pronounce that.
Oh, did I pronounce it properly?
I think so.
Oh, good.
I was going Vedja. Not so
chic. It's Vedja leather.
I thought it was all a Vedja leather as well. Vidran. for Jan.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so my mum, so I've always seen my mum as being very good with money, but she does like to spend it, but she's always spent within her means. But she said that when she was younger, she's actually very frivolous with money.
Ooh.
And her dad described her as a kind fool. So she would spend a lot of money on people that she didn't have, which actually, when I look at the way that she looks at my relationship with money, is probably why she thinks that I'm quite tight. Because actually when she was younger, she was just like spendy. But she said that when she had children, her main thing was that she didn't want them to grow up in a council estate. And that was like her goal, because she knew that she was like, not earning loads, she was working like as a nurse, she wasn't earning loads. So she took on more jobs and stuff, and her goal was to buy a house. And as soon as she set that goal and became a spender and bought her house, her view of money changed.
Ooh, yeah. There was a turning point.
Yeah, she said before that I was really bad with money, and my dad thought I was really bad with money. So yeah, that was her relationship. But she said she became more lax with money when she started her business, because she always knew that it was coming in. And then maybe with that, that's when I was born into the family. Yeah. So.
But you were born on the up, the money up.
Yeah, so I was section. When I was little, my mum was still working for the NHS, and she worked loads. Like, she worked Monday to Saturday, so I didn't really spend a lot of time with her. I spent more time with my dad. But then when I was like 11, she started her business. So obviously, so I went into secondary school and she had her own business. And I think that's like when you're a teenager, that's when your relationship with money starts. Mm. Because before that, you're not paying anything. But my dad contributed. My dad's contribution was that he would give my mum like £200 a month, I think she said. And then she would put that into like my child insurance or whatever it was.
Nice.
That then, like, she would then spend her money on raising me and doing things like, yeah, dance and whatever. But other than that, my dad didn't really contribute at all. But they were still together, but they weren't married or living together at all when I was little.
I didn't know they weren't living together.
Yeah,
that's
so
interesting.
They lived together until I was like six.
Cool.
So she really was not
That's
Russian.
Really cool.
Yeah, I liked it. I like that story.
How often did you see him?
He picked me up on a Saturday or whatever. Like, I'd see him, from what I can remember, like, it's hard to think about what you can and can't remember. I do remember spending like weekends with him, and like going, so he lived in Stockwell, and going and like spending time with him there, and he pretty much picked me up, go to the bookie shop, leave me in the car with like pick and mix. Then he would take me to McDonald's drive through.
Oh, what a day.
What a day. I'd eat McDonald's in the car on the way to my auntie's house, and he'd drop me to my auntie's so I could play with my cousins all day, pick me up, and I'd be like, I love my dad. That was the best
I saw
day
him
ever.
For 1 hour. It was great.
Yeah, literally. I know now why my mom feels so resentful. Like, she actually, like, she would take me on holidays and stuff, and I'd be like, no,
all the contact hours.
Yeah. How do you think Liz's attitude with money has like affected yours?
She has been diddled like quite a lot. And she is too trusting. So like buying a house with my dad, she like lost loads of money in that because she put all of the assets in because she sold her house.
Oh, but did he bought it. They're married?
Yeah, but he wasn't paying the mortgage.
Oh.
So the house was just like, they weren't getting any closer to owning the house. And then she was just like, right, I've got to get out of this. But obviously lost loads of money in the process, like big. I can't even read out this number because it's too big. I can't work out how many
trillion.
I can't work out how many zeros. Yeah, we actually lived in a stately home. And then like even a couple of years ago, like after that, you'd think you'd learn, you'd just be like, I'm not trusting anyone.
Yeah.
Like my name, my money, my house. Mm. She, actually this might be fraud, so maybe I shouldn't say. But she did something, she helped someone out with a sum of money and they didn't pay her back. I think that's a non-fraud way of putting it.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. And
that's
like,
a
what
story.
The hell? And then, and she's always bloody losing her purse. Oh my god, it's like annoying. I think she's due another one because it's normally it's biannual, I mean every other year. No, that's twice a year. So it's you know, she's it's every
fort,
other year.
Fort yearly.
Twice annually. Oh my god, I just remember her losing her purse all the time and it's just a nightmare. So like physically not but very good with money. But she thinks she is.
Yeah.
And I don't understand the
but then maybe she's like, look, I'm a 63-year-old woman.
Is she?
I'm actually 89 and I've lived all these years and I'm fine. I haven't, like, you know, gotten to the point where I can't look after myself.
Yeah,
she's got... So maybe that's what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Because people's idea of good with money are different.
And she's not in, like, yeah, she probably thinks I'm not in loads of debt.
Yeah.
Therefore, I'm good with money.
She can afford to, like, you know, not work all the time and, you know, see your granddad and go on holidays.
She that's where she spends her money. Holidays and eating out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's such a priority for her. Like, her weekly shop, she'll come back with, like, a bottle of wine and, like, onions and mushrooms and like crisps Pringles and then she'll just eat that the entire week and then be like, oh, I'm gonna go out the dunk out and like spend like £30 on a meal and I'm like but you know that's it, you know, that's how she chooses to spend her money.
I think that people's ideas of, for me, being good with money means something completely different to like to you or to your mum or to my mum, but I asked my mum about how she felt about being the breadwinner in like her relationship. Yeah. So with her first husband, she earned more than him, but that's because she chose to like, because she said she wanted to buy a house and stuff. So she chose to work all hours with her son and stuff. And then with my dad, with the business, that's when she like was obviously earning more than my dad. My dad works and he works full time still to this day. My mum's retired now, but and he earns a good wage, but my mum was bringing in more when she had the business. And she was like, I think it's great. It feels liberating. You should never rely on a man.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, I got it. Like, I'm just getting that in a quote. Like, it's kind of like, I felt when like she said that, I was like, you do know that I don't want to either. Like, I don't want to think I'm asking permission. It's like, it's okay to rely on a man. But she said that she also thinks it's important to invest in your children's partners as well, which I thought was an interesting statement.
Really?
Yeah, so she said that because, not in a way that she, like, puts money in a low-yield bond in them, but in the fact that she said that if you looking after your children is important because you want them to be in a good position for if you can... But when you're older, like in a selfish way, like she was very plain about that. She's like, I know that if you sow into your children, they'll want to look after you. And like that's like a really...
Reap what you sow.
Yeah, she was like, I worry about when I get old and who's going to be there for me. And she was like, when your children have partners, that can change them.
That's true.
So I don't want them to... If I've brought them up and like helped them in different ways and stuff and that's the same with their partners that I feel like they're going to be with till the end because I want them to pull my children away from me. And I thought that was really interesting because I don't know. I gave her a scenario as well.
Go on.
I said, okay, mum, I've come to you. This isn't very like far from the truth, to be honest. And I've asked for £10,000. It's not, I'm like, oh, what's a realistic situation? I was like, I've asked for £10,000 for a business. I haven't told you what business.
Yeah.
I just said, I've got an idea for a business and I need £10,000 seed money. Would you give it to me?
Ooh.
And she said, between me and your dad, yes, but it would have to be equal.
Hang on, what does she mean? Like, you and her and her dad give you
£5,000 each? That was really funny. So, okay, as long as I get the 10,000, I don't mind. It comes from, but I thought the fact that she said it has to be equal.
Yeah.
So she's like, you'd have to ask me and your dad. And she said that, she's like, my dad lent me money when I, like, her first husband, basically, kind of like what happened with your mum.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking into the mic. yeah, she stripped her of everything.
Mm.
And her dad had helped her, like, at the time with, like, a £2,000, something, like, a very, like, a manageable amount. And Uncle Leo did as well, and that's why she's like, I'll never forget that, because I felt very much abandoned by my family in certain aspects, and my dad did that, but the Uncle Leo also helped me when I needed it most as well. So I think money's very attached to emotions for her too. Yeah.
I asked my mum about, I guess, the next big thing for us both is like buying a house. Mm-hmm. And there's always that resentment from millennial generation to boomer generation, be like, you guys had it so easy.
Yeah.
Like, why weren't you buying like 6 houses?
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's the old, oh, you eat too many avocados on toast, yeah, you go out for brunch and that's why you're not saving. Mm-hmm. And mum is very sympathetic to our gen and being like, I literally don't know how you guys do it. And she said that randomly, this is fraud again. I can't. Every time I read something, Mama says about money, it involves fraud. Anyway, so the reason she got on the property ladder was because she had a car accident, and the window screen like came in on her face and like slashed her face, and then she had plastic surgery to like fix it, and then she sued the. Or claimed on insurance,
yeah,
and got some money for that. But like, in the reason she got like a big payout was because she said that she was going into modelling. And then, by all accounts, she'd like had some pictures taken.
Did she pay for
like to like prove that like, yeah? Oh my god, those ones where they hawk outside Oxford Street, And they do your face,
and you
or like
one of those big bottom chairs.
So, and that is how my mum got the deposit for her house.
Wow.
And so she was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to be doing that, are you? And I was like, no, not really. I don't get in many car accidents, thank God, touch wood.
Yeah, God.
But yeah, you asked your mum the same kind of house question.
I said, obviously, there's this whole stigma around millennials not like buying property and not being good with money. How do you feel about that? And she said, millennials are bad with money.
Oh!
And she
thanks,
said,
Forbes.
She said, but the baby boomer parents, like we made it, she kept saying,
yeah.
She said, we made it worse.
Yeah.
Because
thanks for taking responsibility.
No. So not even because we bought all the properties and now everything's expensive. She said, because everything came easily to you.
Oh, great.
And I was like,
slap in the face.
Yeah, it's like, I know things came easily to me personally because of your business. So yeah, because I was quite spoiled in certain instances. But I don't think in general, it's like mum tried to think bigger picture in general. Everyone's living longer. Like my dad's not retired yet, he's over 60. Like there's all these different economical things that happen that are not working for us.
Yeah.
And it's
working
not just
over.
Because we got more toys and like so like there's other factors to it.
They're
like,
really,
no, I just think everything's came easily to you and you just expect too much basically.
They're really not good at big picture and like they love a blanket statement.
Yeah.
Like just for
millennials are bad with money. Everyone. I was saying to her, because like there's me and my sisters, and then, time's earlier. there's me and my sisters and my brother, and we're all really different with money.
Mm.
And my older sister, I think she'd admit that she's probably the worst with money. She is Gen X, which I don't think really people don't really talk about. It's baby boomer, Gen X, then millennial.
Yeah.
But then my other sister, she's really good with money. And I was like, Mum, you're forgetting Debbie is a millennial. She's 14, but she's a millennial. Everyone thinks millennials are like 18-year-olds. No, we're all like nearly 30, 40 now. So if we still haven't gotten on the property ladder when you got on it when you were like 20, there's a reason for that. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's money.
That's money.
More money, more problems.
So we're doing a new feature on the podcast where Les and Morves give some advice to listener questions that we've got in. So the first one is, I'm going to do it in the style of the person that asked. I'm in a relationship with my boyfriend for about 10 years and we want to open up the relationship. What's the advice that you would give? And over to you, Agni Aunt Leslie.
Right. Well, obviously, they will have discussed this together, I presume. I think it just depends. If they both are in agreement, then obviously, you know, it's an open relationship. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what the person is saying.
That's right. So if they are in agreement, both in agreement, if one wants to and one doesn't, then that, you know, becomes more of a problem, really, and not a very easy one to solve. But you need to discuss it, basically. I think it has to be discussed.
What were you going to say something about age?
I think if you're young, you know, if you're younger, then I think you need more to explore, you know, because being young, I mean, you can have more of a reason to sort of say, oh, look, you know, let's not be so serious and explore, you know, and have an open relationship. But when you're older, you sort of have to rethink that. Is that really what you want to do? You know, that's what I would say.
Cool. Thank you very much, Leslie. If you've got any questions for our wonderful Agony Aunt mothers, you can send them in to yourmumpod@gmail.com. Bye.
Okay, so this is the first question we've had to our inbox for Morves and Les to answer. So the first question is, I want to open up my relationship, but I'm worried about losing what we have as a heteronormative couple. What advice do you have to keep the relationship strong? So, Mum?
It sounds as though that one or both are bi-curious,
mm-hmm.
which means that you both have to, I think, lots of discussion, and you both have to be in agreement with this, because this explorative thing is different. What advice do I have? Make sure both of you are in agreement with it and happy with it, not just one person. Because this is, you're opening up your relationship into another avenue, which is, it can bring jealousy and sometimes maybe a little bit of discontent that, you know, one's maybe more wanting that than the other. It's an avenue that, you know, you have to tread really carefully going down. That's what I feel.
Thank you for listening. This has been Your Mum.